My guest at this time is Bill Frady. He is the host of Lock and Load, presented by Gun Owners of America. He is joining me now to address some of the major gun-related stories of the past several days, ranging from Secretary of State John Kerry signing the United Nations Small Arms Treaty, despite the fact the U.S. Senate, in past procedural votes, has rejected that by a wide margin. And we also want to get his thoughts on President Obama's reaction in his remarks on Sunday at the memorial service for the Navy Yard tragedy. And we want to get his insights on how gun issues might play a role in the Virginia governor's race. And, sir, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Well, we know the Obama administration supported the Small Arms Treaty, and Secretary of State John Kerry has signed it. Of course, for the treaty to be officially adopted by the United States Senate would have to approve it by a two-thirds margin. That is not going to happen. So what's the significance of John Kerry signing this?
I guess this is going to be a way he can go to his base and say, I just can't get what I want at this particular time. I know the majority of America wants it, and he's going to go back to the old talking points of the 40% that get bought without a background check and the 90% of Americans that agree on expanded background checks and all these other things. For a moment, it's a symbolic victory for him, but that's going to last for about 5 minutes.
Without Senate approval, this has no bearing on the United States of America, or could he somehow interpret it that way? We spoke a few months ago when this was being debated at the UN and passed by the UN, Mike Hammond, that he said that the president might try to issue an executive order and impose it anyway without Senate approval.
I know that Senator Corker from Tennessee has sent a preemptive letter to him stating that in order for this to be adopted, it has to have the advice and the consent constitutionally of the Senate. And unless he gets that advice and unless he gets that consent, it is not advisable for him to try to impose it by executive fiat. But that would, I believe that if he were to actually try to do that, that might be a big turning point for a lot of people. Clearly, he doesn't have the mandate that he thinks he does. Gun control is not on the minds of too many people right now. In the wake of everything that's been going on around here, the gun-free zone is what's on everybody's mind. I think that would be a very bad move. The Democrats like being in power, and this guy isn't going to get to run for another election. I would hope that they would go the way the Republicans went with Nixon during Watergate and gave him some good advice.
We're talking with Bill Frady, host of Lock and Load, presented by Gun Owners of America. And before we move on to some of the more domestic political issues here, Bill, real briefly explain for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the Small Arms Treaty why it's a problem. The supporters, of course, say this is simply designed to stop arms trafficking among nefarious terrorist organizations and thug regimes. So what's the problem?
Well, it also dictates to the signing states that they have to impose new rules and regulations within their nation state to make sure they're able to comply with this treaty. And that covers small arms. Now, when I think of small arms, I think of man-portable. I think of the rifles and the pistols and everything else. This covers tanks and all kinds of munitions and everything else. The people that underwrite most of your, terrorists are not running around with American-made weapons. They're running around with AKs. And there's various nations who will underwrite any cause, Russia, China. The AK is the prevalent weapon on the planet. So we're not the problem. And I did notice that along the way, he did manage to get in there and back Syrian rebels, but to the tune of $340 million. I'm sure he wants to arm them. The United States Army has been buying AKs and AK magazines and AK ammo, and I'm just presuming that they want to send that to our Syrian brethren, the great rebel freedom fighters, so they'll have something there at custom.
Bill, let's move on to the president and his reaction to the Navy Yard shootings that, of course, occurred last week. The memorial service was on Sunday. The president took time to honor the victims, but he also spent a lot of that speech talking about why America needs to get behind his gun control strategy and saying that Congress clearly isn't going to do anything, so the American people have to do it. And here's kind of the pitch he made. He says it's obvious that Americans care about mass shooting events like this, but then he posed the question of whether we care enough. Here's what he said.
But the question is, do we care enough? Do we care enough to keep standing up for the country that we know is possible, even if it's hard, and even if it's politically uncomfortable? Do we care enough to sustain the passion and the pressure to make our communities safer and our country safer? Do we care enough to do everything we can to spare other families the pain that is felt here today?
Bill, what do you make of the president's line of reasoning there? And do you think he and his allies are going to be able to gin up any additional support as a result of what happened here?
The question, do we care enough? Of course we care enough. The gun-owning populace of the United States cringes, not because we know that we're having to gird ourselves for more gun control talk, but because we don't like innocent life being snuffed. 6,900 times a day, people defend themselves with guns. A gun is a tool. The Lone Star slashing, if you remember that, that happened earlier this year, where a deranged young man, much like Aaron Alexis, but he didn't have a gun, he had a knife. And he went into a college where they didn't have any guns, and he slashed with impunity. The fact that nobody died is just dumb luck. The earlier, not too long ago, prior to the Naval Yard shooting, we had that deranged young man who, like Aaron Alexis, clearly was trying to find some help, ends up in a school atrium with an AK-47 and ammo, and an administrator there who had really no other choice but to try to talk him down did manage to do that. But that also was just dumb luck. They are ignoring the very blatant reality that where you don't allow people to arm themselves, they are fish in a barrel. Have you seen the pictures of that Westgate Mall in Nairobi? It is horrific. It is absolutely horrific. A bunch of people just, that could very well have been a mall here in the United States because they are the same kind of soft target. But we don't have the kind of restrictive gun law that they have in Kenya here as overall most of the United States. So thankfully that has not happened yet. Military members, whenever I'm dealing with gun control advocates, they always tell me that the police and the military are the only ones who need guns. The military does train to a higher degree than the police, but they are not allowed to carry one to protect themselves. That is the most convoluted logic I've ever heard in my life, especially since the Fort Hood shooting. Since the Fort Hood shooting, and they've done nothing about military post security, now we've had the D.C. shooting. They're not going to do anything about that. In the individual states, we're starting to see things happen in the schools, and we will start to see a drop in these locales where people are allowed to tool up, train up, and just get prepared if they have to repel an attack. We won't see that so much in Arkansas. We won't see that so much in Texas. I've heard Connecticut starting to adopt some of that stuff. So we're not going to see that so much. But the gun-free zone, and he should know this. He's from Chicago, which is now Mogadishu on Lake Michigan. He should know that a gun-free zone is not good for the safety of the public. He knows better than that. He knows. My reaction, he's supposed to be the smartest guy in the room. Apply some of that intellect and look at some facts and stop trying to disarm it.
Bill, last topic in our remaining 90 seconds to 2 minutes here. We saw, of course, not long ago, two state lawmakers in Colorado get recalled by their constituents as a result of their support for gun control laws in that state. Now, one of the leading candidates, in fact, he's leading, according to the polls, the governor's race in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, has posted on his website that he would be embracing some of the very same measures that were approved out in Colorado, including capacity limits on magazines, universal background checks, and also addressing how many guns per month folks in the state can buy. I don't know how much you're familiar with politics in Virginia, but what do you think the impact of that will be?
It's sort of like Terry McAuliffe is trying to parachute into Virginia and tell everybody in Virginia that is law-abiding that I'm smarter than you and I know how to take care of you. Go ahead and embrace Ken Cuccinelli, Virginia. You will not be sorry.
Bill, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate your time very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bill Frady is host of Lock and Load, presented by Gun Owners of America. For more information, gunowners.org. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.